This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Error Code 8, we talk about AT&T throttling you just a little bit farther into unlimited data, a LulzSec hacker turns on his own, and Google wants to play. Stay tuned. You're tuned in again this week for Error Code 8, where we talk about tech news. Yeah, we kick it around like an old rusty can. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the Techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello and welcome back.
Yay, they're back. Yay. All right, this week, I've got one really great piece of news here. You ready for this? AT&T has announced that they are going to change the point in which you get throttled for your data. Womp womp. See, they got sued, you remember. I think we talked about that last – we might have talked about it the week before. But in recent weeks, they had gotten sued in small claims court because they started throttling a guy at like 2 gigabytes. And he
2 gigs.
Yeah, he basically said, if I'm going to get throttled at 2 gigs, why are you doing that when regular people get 2 and 3 in their normal data plans? And AT&T said, okay, all right. You know, they lost. They did appeal. I don't think there's anything has come of that, and I'm sure there won't be. However, now, when you get to 3 gigabytes, that's when the upper 5% start to get throttled. So,
what confuses me is, are they really claiming that only for unlimited customers, that all of their top 5% are only their unlimited customers?
I'm sure that they are. I mean, it's just like claiming that they needed these tiered data plans. I still don't think they did.
So no one in that top 5% is on the new data plan and have used over their 2 gigabyte option and kicked over into the 3rd gigabyte for the extra $10, an extra $10. No one.
Exactly. And now they've actually got, for $30 a month, it's a 3 gigabyte plan instead of the two for $25. So, you know, what gets me is that they're giving you 1 gigabyte, which used to cost you an extra $10 for $5. So obviously they didn't absolutely have to charge you the money that they did.
Right.
I just, AT&T, good Lord, you are the Antichrist.
And now, I mean, throttling unlimited users at 2 gigs.
Yeah.
That is obviously just to get them off of that plan. That is not because they are damaging your network.
That is exactly what it is.
Damaging your network, I could see at 5 gigs. When someone's using 5 gigs a month, which is equivalent to their $60 – actually, I think it still is – their $60 data plan for their air cards. Okay. At that point in time, I can see that person is probably tethering or loves Pandora a lot. Showers with it, drives with it, sleeps with it. You know, there's no way at 2 gigabytes that they are causing any amount of damage, considering that if they're only using 2 gigabytes or 3 gigabytes, they're still falling under AT&T's current plan options.
Exactly. It makes so little sense the way that they figure out all. I mean, and basically, the majority of it is greed. You know,
100%.
I mean, this is the exact reason you outlined it. You hit it on the nail on the head that the reason that they are throttling at these points is because they don't want you on the unlimited plan. They want you paying more for less on the tiered plans. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as when Verizon told you that, you know, FaceTime would only work over 3G on a tiered data plan. It was not allowed to work on an unlimited plan, so you had to switch if you wanted to use FaceTime over 3G.
Yep.
That's robbery. That is just, it's unbelievable the fact that they would allow, that you know, the Better Business Bureau and all the government agencies that handle businesses would allow this kind of thing to happen. It's greed at its worst.
Mm-hmm. And so. I would have no problem, because it is within the clauses of your signed contract, even on the unlimited, that they can at any point in time slow the speeds. They can choke you. But for them to do it, for any carrier to do it below their threshold for their other plans, that is simply unethical. You know, I mean, just obviously these businesses are all unethical. A business doesn't care about ethics, but the fact is mostly. Yeah, that's how you get sued.
Yeah, that's it. Until you get sued, ethics doesn't even begin to enter into business nowadays.
Right.
So, anyway, before I explode, you better get off of AT&T and talk about another cell phone company, Verizon. Now, the Verizon news is actually somewhat good news. It's not bad news like that one. I don't think I've ever had a good piece of AT&T news, to be completely honest. Ever since tiered data, it's been downhill.
Well, two weeks ago, whenever they lost that court case.
Yeah, that's about it, really. Yeah, yep. that was good news. But, you know, yep. Verizon has put out a list, finally. I was waiting for this. I'm waiting for it from Sprint as well. For the 14 devices overall that are going to be getting the Android 4.0 upgrade. That's Ice Cream Sandwich. It's going to be 9 phones and 5 tablets that are going to be getting it. So here's some of them. Smartphones confirmed for upgrade are the HTC Thunderbolt, Droid Incredible 2, HTC Rhyme, HTC Resound. All the Motorola's, the Bionic, the Razer Max, and the Droid 4, and the LG Spectrum. Okay, I rattled that off relatively quickly, but you get the idea. Pretty much the new phones and one or two of the older ones. On the tablet front, you've got the Motorola Zoom, which is, frankly, a surprise to me. I really was afraid the Zoom wasn't going to get an upgrade. The Droid X, or this one, I hate the name of this thing.
The Droid Cyborg.
I hate it. The Cyborg 8.2. Of course, the Cyborg 10.1 and the Galaxy Tab 10.1 and Tab 7.7. So you get to get your Android 4.0 on and devour some beautiful ice cream sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Yippee skippy.
Yep. Note, who knows when this is going to be?
Yeah, that's
just so you all know. Don't get excited that, you know, don't start pressing update on your tablet or phone, assuming it's here. Probably give them to at least the end of the first quarter, all the way till your device is long obsolete.
Exactly. Pretty much. That's about the gist of it. You know, a lot of phones are not even included in this, like the Samsung Stratosphere, the Droid 3, the Photon 4G. You know, I've always said that upgrades are put out by the cell phone companies to phones that have been sold at such a time that the people who bought them aren't ready for an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're ready for an upgrade, there's no way you're getting an update for your phone, because that makes it a new phone, and we wouldn't want you to be happy with what you have, now would we?
Nope. I will say this. The carrier that seems at least the fastest or the most consistent with the Android updates for the major devices really seems to be Sprint and T-Mobile. They both do a really good job of pushing those updates out at a timely manner, assuming it's a, you know, not one of the low-end. If you buy a free Android phone, if an Android phone comes out free at launch or $50 at launch, no, it is more than likely never going to get a true Android upgrade.
Very true. So you better just root it and put your own on there.
Exactly.
You know,
when you buy a $200 one, it will get at least one update, maybe two. But that's it. That's all you should expect out of these devices. Carriers just don't care. And the actual manufacturers of the device don't have the time, really, with how often everything is changing. And, you know, dealing with both Google and the carrier front, you cannot rely on your device ever getting an upgrade while you're using it.
Exactly. I guess I'm just kind of a curmudgeon when it comes to cell phone companies.
Well, it's...
I'm always kind of the old guy, you know, get off my lawn.
I agree. Believe me, I'd rather just buy my hardware, install what I want and need, you know, and leave it at that.
Yeah, when do we get the cell phone that gets sold that is software independent? You know, I can put anything I want on it.
Yep.
That would be amazing. Because if I have always said that a brand new BlackBerry phone with Android on it would be unbeatable. You know, because BlackBerry's hardware is pretty much second to none. And then you put an Android, obviously we'll never get iOS, but if you put an Android operating system on it, you just completely sidestep BlackBerry shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yep.
Talking about software, the Windows 8 consumer preview got released. Yay! Oh, and by the way,
flawless segue.
Yeah, because I talked about software. Anyway, if you follow the Windows news, a couple weeks ago, maybe as long ago as a month, Windows 8 got a developer preview that came out, and it allowed you to download it, install it on a machine, give it a shot. It was interesting. It's hard to explain what I didn't like about it, because the operating system itself is reasonably quick for being a preview. It's pretty snappy. I really enjoyed the operating system itself. The Metro UI was a little bit odd on a touchpad computer, though. It's basically built for a touchscreen. So The consumer preview, obviously, is no different via the UI. It's the exact same thing. You use it exactly the same way. It's just a little bit more polished. It's got some more features, a couple more apps. It's kind of fun right now because you can go to the App Store and all the apps are free, so that's kind of neat. But, you know, give it a shot. If you're interested to see what Windows 8 is going to look like, it's free to download, free to try for a while. It's a free operating system at this point. Download it, install it on a netbook, and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sam, it's your turn.
Yay!
Tell me about what happens when hackers turn on hackers.
Well, you end up with a minimum of 6 people going to prison for a very long time.
Womp womp.
Yep. The leader of Lulzek, man, I'm going to slaughter his last name, as I always do. Hector Xavier... Monsignor.
Yeah, I'm going to say Monsignor.
Okay. Was arrested last year and has pleaded guilty, apparently, and is working for leniency by, well, spilling his guts. Which means, for all of you loyal listeners who happen to have been a member of Lulzek and or have some ties to Anonymous, better start working on that new identity. Because the government will find you now.
We have you now.
Mm-hmm. The terms and everything, none of that is being disclosed. But we know there's at least 6 people who have been taken into custody for all the various crimes that Lulzek committed. Now, for those of you, Anonymous and Lulzek had two very different goals. Whereas Anonymous seems now to be very driven to political and societal, using hacking and everything to influence outcomes of events, with a small minority of them using it for actual hacking, identity theft, and, you know, costing businesses large sums of money, Lulzek was really just out there to inflict as much damage as possible to the corporations that definitely overstepped what they considered overstepped their bounds. But these 6 people have been tied with millions of dollars effectively in one of them over $700,000 worth of credit card purchases unauthorized. So as much as you may want to hold Anonymous and, you know, Lulzak and their actions high in the air, you know, as what do we call it, vigilante justice to these corporations, you have to remember that they also do quite a bit of damage.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad. It makes me very sad that, I mean, every man has his price, and life in prison versus not life in prison is one heck of a price.
Exactly. And I mean, the guy has kids, and yeah, so he has a family.
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah,
28.
So it's understandable that he wouldn't want to leave his kids to do it. You know, it is. It happens. You know, I mean, and in all honesty, he actually got pegged because he forgot to mask his IP while logging into an IRC chat room. A single, solitary, simple mistake. And it was
only has to
all
happen
over.
Once.
Yeah. So. Wow. You know, and then the fact that I'm reading here on the report that he actually, when the police started questioning him at his front door, he actually said, "I don't have a computer." But behind him, the police could see the Ethernet cable snaking out of his DSL modem and lights going nuts. It's like, really, dude, really?
He's not a poker player.
Yeah, not bad, at least.
Bad bluffs are bad.
Obviously, you are not a golfer. So, yeah, it's hard to say how I feel about it, really. I mean, if I were in his shoes, I probably would have done the same thing. I mean, you know, honestly, it's one of those things where these are, a lot of times they have reasonable morals behind them as a, you know, a government agency overstepped its bounds. Now we're going to step up and show them what they get for it. But also you've got to look at it as the fact that, you know, it does do a lot of damage. It is a big slash and burn, and a lot of times innocent bystanders do get caught in a crossfire, and that becomes a problem. So the morality of it all is so mixed up that it's hard to tell how, you know, how I'm supposed to feel about it. You know, I understand the guy did wrong and that, you know, he's technically a criminal, and as such, you know, boo on him. The FBI should get him. But then again, they've fought before for some reasonably worthy causes. So
quite worthy causes, actually.
Yeah, so it's like, man, you know, that sucks. Basically, they were a target from the government because of their opposition to the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I just real ambivalence there. I'm not sure what to feel about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a very gray area.
Isn't it, though?
Mm-hmm.
Man. All right, so next on our list, you know, the hacker's operating system of choice is Linux, and lovely enough, Linux has a new version.
Flawless segue.
Booyah! Two in a row.
I don't know if that one was technically flawless, but I'll give it to you.
It's good enough. It's good enough. I got the soundboard buttons here, so guess who gets to give it to who? Booyah. In a world where I have the sound button, I pretty much get to do what I want.
Noted.
Anyway, so Ubuntu, pretty much, I mean, would you agree that it's pretty much the most prominent Linux distribution?
Provenly, in regards to consumer use, yes.
Yes, okay. Ubuntu is going to be getting a new version, and it will be, what, it's 12 now, correct? We're on 12?
Mm-hmm, 12.4.
Okay. All right, so beta
12.04, I'll correct myself on that.
Gotcha. Beta 1 of 12.04, which is dubbed Precise Pangolin. We actually had to look up what a pangolin was.
Yeah.
It's basically an armadillo had sex with an anteater. It's a anteater with scales. So,
yes.
Just in case you were curious. It had been in alpha for a while, so now it's it's on beta 1, so you'll be able to go out, download it. I'm actually going to work on downloading it as soon as we're done here to give it a shot. They're going to try and put out a beta 2 in about a month. It's got the same Unity UI, you know, it's there doesn't really look to be a whole heck of a lot different in this.
On the user standpoint, more than likely not. Since they've adapted Unity to the top side of the to the user interface, I expect most of this to be under the hood.
More than likely, I'll download it and try it anyway, though.
Oh yeah.
So
I mean, I'll download it. Well, I'll probably have you download it and give it to me.
There you go. I'll do that.
I need internet.
So not a whole lot to say about it, really. Just go, if you like Ubuntu, go out, download it, give it a shot, see what you think. And probably not a whole lot on the outside that's going to change, but you never know, really. Linux has a way of sneaking up on you. All right. Now, with Google, nothing is ever good enough. They had the App Store. And then they had to add books to the App Store. Then they had to add movies to the App Store. Then later on, they had to put out Google Music. Then Google Music came out of beta, and then they had to add music to the App Store. And now the market contains all of these things. And now the name Android Market isn't good enough. Just can't leave well enough alone anymore. Google has said that their new product, basically new name, Google Play, is going to replace the Android Market. It's going to be apps, books, movies, music all together in one big spot. If you actually boot up your phone, I'm looking at my Nexus S right now. And if I go to my Market, nothing has changed on my actual Market quite yet. However, if I go to my apps and look in on my lists, I've got an update sitting here for Google Play Books, which is basically a new icon and a new name. It literally says new icon, new name. Google Play Music is an update that I've got sitting here. And it says, what's new? New name, new logo, same great app. So yeah, basically, it's a change in the look, a change in the name, and that's it. Oh, hey, by the way, for the next 7 days, because of all this, they're going to have one album for 25 cents each day. Just in case you're a music junkie. I think it's now that's what I call music 41 is today. 41? Really? Really? I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
No.
So there you go. The books, music, and video apps on your Android phone will be coming full circle around to be Google Play. Don't worry yourself too horribly much about it. Now, there is a little thingy, a little bitty Linux PC, which, you know, dang it, if I was any kind of a good host, I probably would have put this next to the Ubuntu.
I saw that, and I was like, ha 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 ha, he's going to miss that.
Dag nam it. Anyway, Sam, this is your baby. Why don't you talk about it?
All right. Well, for those longtime listeners of Air Code 8, you may remember that I mentioned the Raspberry Pi a few episodes back. Many episodes back, actually, if I remember correctly. That's the little $35 or $25 credit card-sized computer that's designed for Linux coding and development. Well, it finally went on sale February 29th, midnight, 6 a.m. in the over where they're from, the Britain. Yep. And if you were wanting one, if you were one of those people like me who stayed up till midnight here in the United States to try to order one, and well, you were more than likely disappointed, because while they had 10,000 of them made, suffice to say, interest in it was much, much, much higher. Closer to like the 100,000 to 300,000 range. So, for those of you lucky people who managed to order one, congratulations. You'll be getting it in late March, mid to late March, early April. For everybody else, May, at best. So, I'm really sad. I really wanted one. I'm very tired of using my giant gaming computer for my general surfing needs because it is a giant power hog and is raising my electric bill. Literally, having it on 3 extra days a week spiked my bill $10.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a power hog. But well, it's also covered in fancy lights and, you know, it looks really awesome. I probably should unplug those. But, you know, this is perfect for me. The only thing I would need to do is find some way of, well, obviously there's a Skype for Linux, Ubuntu anyway. Ubuntu doesn't yet work on the device, so they're working on it. But if I can get Skype up and going on it, this would save me tons of money.
Very true. I'm looking at this thing. I really kind of do want one now.
Isn't it just the coolest little geek device ever?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's got all the ports. You don't have to really wire anything.
No. In fact, the only thing it lacks is an onboard clock.
Yeah. Well,
and somebody has already made one for it that you can solder in yourself.
Yeah. Also, you need a power button. Yeah, because I'm noticing that it has headers for all the GPID stuff.
Yeah.
But you'd have to have some sort of a momentary switch to actually turn it on, which, I mean, let's face it, is $1.50 at Radio Shack.
That is correct.
So, that's nothing. You get the best of the best on this thing. You're talking $40 taxes and all to get you a pretty decent little machine.
Yeah, it's a 700 megahertz processor, the 256 megs of RAM.
Yeah, and it's a PC small enough to fit inside of something around the size of a Altoids 10. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's literally smaller than a cell phone. It's fantastic. And imagine, if you will, installing one of these in like a Linksys WRT router.
Exactly.
You know, then you've got your router, and basically you could have a router and a server in one.
Or for those of you who, you know, decide that you wanted to get a little bit anonymous or, you know, with a little bit hacking going on, you could actually get one of those old school bigger TVs, install this inside of it.
Very true.
And, well, when the government comes knocking on your door, you can honestly say, no, there is not a computer in this house. That wireless keyboard is just a wireless keyboard. I don't know why I own it.
That's my cousin's. He left it here.
Yeah, he left it here. I had a friend over gaming.
You know, it's one of those things where hey, here's a question for you. Does anybody war drive anymore? Is that gone? Is that through?
That's pretty much through, yeah.
Okay. Because I remember war driving. I do. I used to war drive all the time. And that was for those of you who don't remember what war driving is, it's where you drive around town trying to find open access points for Wi-Fi or closed access points to hack into.
Yep.
I think the last time I had to war drive, I wasn't actually war driving. I was war sitting when my DSL went out at my old apartment. And I had to crack my neighbor's web key to get in and use the internet.
Yep.
Sorry, neighbors. I didn't use a lot.
See, nowadays you can pretty much hit any restaurant and they have open Wi-Fi. Yeah, so it's like, war driving, if you're in a panic, my internet's down. Time to go to McDonald's.
War driving would be the quickest drive on the planet. You just put it in drive, let it coast 5 seconds. Okay, we're done. Yep. All right.
Yeah, it's actually something a lot of times, I'd figure a lot of people live close enough even to somebody else's access point now that it's just like, don't need to drive. Kind of just need to sit here on my couch.
Yeah, let's see here. I've got 3 near me. Yeah, I'm picking
I have 13.
Holy cow, dude.
You live in an apartment.
You have 13, you don't have internet?
Again, I it's one of those things that I actually talked to one of my neighbors about it, and they turned me down.
I would be
letting me like cracking, use it just once a week.
I would be cracking so many web keys.
It's a felony. I'm scared. I've already got enough possible
a felony if you get caught.
The fact is that there's plenty of evidence left behind. I don't have the time or resources to sweep the trail.
Oh, boy.
But once I have this and install it in an old CRT style monitor.
Yeah, or you can do the old style of people, you know, human engineering. I've done that once or twice where I went into a friend of mine was like, man, I can't figure out this wireless internet stuff. I'm like, well, let me take a look at your router. And I take a look at the router, write down the web key real fast.
True.
Those AT&T routers have the same web key all the time. It's on the bottom of it. You just write it down real fast and you're done.
Yep.
No cracking necessary.
Nope. Totally relatively more legal. Quotes on that.
Legal. You almost have to the quotes are so big you almost have to slow the word down. Legal.
Yes. But that's actually, I'm really waiting for Ubuntu to get up and going on it, because that means it wouldn't take much recompiling to get Backtrack up and going on it.
Quotes the size of pangolins.
How big are pangolins? I was thinking like tiny, because like the size of an armadillo.
Yeah, but those are some pretty damn big quotes.
Oh, true, actually, yeah.
That's a page full of quote right there, man. Anyway, so that is pretty much the news we have for you today. We will have, more than likely, if I can manage the time, we're going to try to do an episode. I don't think Sam will be able to make it, but I will at least be on. And we're going to try and have a real quick, like, I'm talking 10-minute episode, talking about the iPad announcement that's going to be happening tomorrow. It should be happening around noon. Usually they go for an hour and a half, 2 hours max, depending on what they have to announce. I'm thinking hour and a half max. It's pretty much an iPad 3, 2S, HD, whatever they're going to call it, that's what it's going to be. Some people are postulating that maybe something with an Apple TV, but I doubt that. I think that they will dedicate it to the iPad. Sam, I know you're not much of an Apple person, but what do you think will be... Let's make some predictions. Let's put some money on some theoretical money on the table and say this is what we think is going to be in the new iPad.
We talked about it last time, or at least off the air. I don't remember. But Siri, more than likely, 100% guaranteed, Siri is going to make its way. I would say that... Trying to think of what the various announcements they've made... I don't really see Apple TV. Definitely a pixel jump in the screen.
Okay. Do you think it's just going to be an increased pixel count, or do you think it's actually going to be the Retina display?
I just don't know if they have... The time since the Retina display, it's been, a year and a half since they advertised the Retina display. The screen... My fear in that regard, and if they call it a Retina display, I just don't think, with battery life being such an issue for Apple, and they care so much about battery life, like that's, you know, when people are having battery issues with Siri, which I've heard they still are technically, Apple was all over that. And whenever you're powering a screen of that type, that Dixel? I think of y'all really know what I think of Apple now. Let's dissect that word with that pixel count.
Porn industry comes out with an iPad and it's called the Dixel.
The new iPad Dixel.
That thing got 13 megadixels.
Yeah, I don't see that unless they figured out something to keep the battery drain down on it.
Gotcha. Anything else?
Any
more of my dreams you want to rub in the mud?
Trying to think. I expect a spec bump to the processors.
Okay.
Man, I'm not comfortable saying, you know, quad core though.
Really? Hmm.
Again, battery life. If we see quad core on it, they are going to be more than likely. Well, I mean, obviously, it's going to be more than likely like what the 4-in-1s or the 4-and-1s. We'll probably see something like that just because of the battery life issue.
Gotcha. Okay. My prediction is... ready for this? This is what will be coming out tomorrow. All right. This isn't a prediction. I'm just telling you what I know is going to be coming out. That's just the way it is. And that's the way it was. All right. Of course, Siri. Definitely coming. It would be impolite for it not to come to the iPad. I could use other words. They'd be a bunch of megadixels if they didn't put it on the iPad.
Exactly.
I am thinking Retina display. Also, you know, and just because of the invitation, the display on the invitation looks fantastic. So, I mean, that could be photoshopping, but you never know. That is kind of the logical next step. Apple has always said, with a screen that close to your face, you don't need any more than 720p. I think they're going to go back on that. Apple has that knack of going back on what they say. People never want to read or never want to watch movies on an iPod. People never want to read on a tablet. You know, all these things, they just go back on what they say constantly. I think that the Retina display and the 720p will be one of those things. Also, I'm thinking the design will be exactly the same. I don't think anything will actually change in the design of it. It will get I'm not sure if it will get the iPhone 4S's camera, but it will get a better camera, at least. And then other things. Let's see here, camera. I'm typing these down as I'm saying them. That way we can hold ourselves to this, you know. All right, better camera. I think we're going to see the A5 processor, which I believe will be quad-core. And I think that they will probably... I don't know how they'll deal with the battery life issue with the quad-core. But you've got to figure the Retina display probably doesn't use that much more power. So if they can develop the quad-core processor properly, they might be able to negate battery life or just add just enough battery. You know, like the iPhone 4S came out and they said the battery was like 30% bigger or something like that. If they could just add just enough battery to where the battery life stays exactly the same, no one will complain. We'll be fine with that. The iPad has unbelievable battery life as it is. Last but not least, and this one everyone tends to poo-poo me about. They don't think it's going to happen. And, you know, I understand it's a far shot, but I honestly think this is what's going to happen. The iPad 2 will stay around. It won't be like the original where they just stop making them. I think the iPad 2 will get a drastic price drop. And they'll continue to manufacture them because with so much competition in the lower-priced tablet market, Apple would be amiss if they didn't have at least one entry. I understand they want to be a premium product, but if you have two products so close together, it would be very easy for you to put an iPad 2 out at, say, $350 to $400, and then an iPad 3 or whatever at $500. What'd you say?
Oh, sorry. My internet's jumping around again. All right. I think if they are going to keep the iPad 2 around, we will only see that if they do not change the case design.
Exactly. Yes, very true. They're not going to have two completely separate designs, as they've shown with the products time and time again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I believe that too. And that is why, you know, I tell people – you know, it might be an iPad 3, it might be an iPad 2S, you know, because technically, you know, normally they don't change the number the way it looks with the iPhone anyway. They don't change the number until the design changes. Right. And I believe that they will keep the same design. They've created so many of the outer casings for the iPad 2. I can't understand why they would switch the design around.
Right.
So, I mean, the iPad 1 to the iPad 2 is an incredible change. I don't think visually there will be a change from iPad 2 to iPad 3. So, that's what's going to happen tomorrow. Or, in Sam's case, what might happen tomorrow. But, you know, I mean, I've seen
it.
I have one in front of me right now. You just don't know it. I'm doing this whole show from an iPad 3. Yeah. Just so you know. I mean, you know, the more you know. Anyway, join us hopefully tomorrow. Like I said, if everything works out, I will have a short segment tomorrow describing the actual announcement itself. Just a real quick little blurb. If you get it, you get it. If don't, you don't. You know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, the way the iPad turns on, the way the smart cover folds. So, Sam, tell people how they can find, follow, and stalk you.
You can follow me on Twitter, the Manitou Man at the Manitou Man. Gmail, manitouman@gmail.com. Sam Briggs at 8daysofgeek.com. I've decided I'm not going to create any other pages about me except by accident.
Ugh.
Oh, I found out, actually, people are friending me left and right on G+. I'm getting emails for that now. So nice. Ever since they've consolidated everything and people have inadvertently found that they do, in fact, have a G+ account, whether they bothered with it or not,
mm-hmm.
You know, because as now all you have to do is effectively log into that function and everything pulls right in and it is there. So if you want to find me on G+, I'm actually Manitou Man on G+.
Nice.
So, yeah, I realized I filled out fake information on my Gmail account, and well, it pulled all that information in.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little bit odd.
Anyway.
I have a completely different identity now. I am also, according to Google, Manitou Man.
Yeah, you know, in all honesty, I had that problem when I first signed up for the Google Plus beta, because one of my places that I used to live, you know, they have the, you name those, one of them was under the stairs at the Google campus. So they had my address at the Google campus. I'm like, well, that would be really cool. That's not exactly truthful. I might want to change that. I think it changed correctly, but yeah, that was pretty good. No, actually, it's still on there.
You never left.
That's awesome. That is good stuff. I have my actual address on there too, but that one's my actual town anyway. I don't have my address because you people aren't good enough to get my actual address. I don't want you camping out on my porch. So, all right. Well, for me, you can find me on Twitter. I am at Pen of Doom. My email address is jesse@8daysofgeek.com. And you can find everything about me on about.me/Jesse Miller. It's the easiest way to really find it all. I got to update that. Hold on. About.me. Okay, good. I got to go in and add a few things. So I'll do that while you guys listen to the podcast. And then afterwards, you go to that page and find out everything about.me. You really should get one of those, Sam. I'm just saying.
I'm actually opening yours now to see what these look like.
Woohoo! All right. Guys, join us tomorrow, maybe next week, and hear more about tech, because that rusty can just never gets kicked around quite enough.